Oh, God.
Come with me, and you'll see, in a world of BFD magician.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome.
We saw Wonka, but not in the chocolate factory yet. Just normal Wonka.
Yeah, normal Wonk.
And might I say, I was surprised.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer, I thought it was going to be doo-doo.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case for Kung Fu Panda 4.
But, like Jake said, yeah, it was actually kind of pleasing to go to the theater and see... Nice. And to see something that initially you're like, well, this is not going to be great, but we got to do the movie review because it's kind of a big movie and everything. And then you walk out and you go, oh, that was pretty good.
Okay. Like, I will say the first, like, 4 or 5 minutes was not a pleasant experience because the lights were still on.
Yeah.
Now, there was a savior, a dad, because there was, like, 100 kids in this movie.
Yeah.
Ran out and got him to turn the lights off. So, shout out to you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
If you're watching this video,
you know.
Drop a like and subscribe.
Let's just break the ice.
It was a musical. Which I did not know that it was a musical.
Which is crazy because the original one is.
Yeah, but the second one isn't.
Well,
and also,
yeah,
but it wasn't advertised like a musical.
I thought it pretty much was pretty apparent.
Well,
anyways, the most controversial element of this thing, and the part that I was the most hesitant of going in based on the trailer, Timothée Chalamet. Tomatoa Chalamet.
And let me say, my opinion before and after are the same. This was not the best casting.
I thought that he was going to be very random XD based on the trailer.
Yes.
And I will say that he grew on me.
He did through
the film. And I thought that he was doing a good portrayal of what the energy of the film was. I'm not really sure how his character is that similar to the 70s Gene Wilder performance. But, I mean, you know, there's like, what, give it like 20, 30 years in between, so he can change. So it's not, it doesn't need to be exact.
And I agree with that. I felt like there was sort of a kookiness that he didn't have physically more than anything. I think his acting was fine, but just being in the space felt a bit awkward to me. At times.
Okay. Overall, though, I was pretty happy with it. I will say, and this is maybe we can get segue this into something different, but I will say the worst part of his performance is not a bad part necessarily, but the songs. The musical element of this, the dance numbers and all of that that's going on, absolutely excellent. The other songs that were not sung by Wonka were also, I thought, pretty excellent in terms of their performance and sound and everything. But overall, the entire musical, every song sounded exactly the same.
They did sound very similar. It never... And this is what I was thinking. I didn't say this to you. We were going to the theater. There wasn't really a showstopper at all. There was never really a song that, like, brought me to tears or got me hyped. And generally, in a musical, there's always a song that, like...
You talk about, like, the I Want song?
Not necessarily. The showstopper is, like, it's the biggest and boldest song of a musical. In The Greatest Showman, the reprise of The Greatest Show, that's a showstopper. It's the big and bold
song. Moulin Rouge, it's the Come What May.
Or Be a Man.
Oh,
that's
a
showstopper.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, the musicality of it, it wasn't whimsical in any way either, really.
Yeah, and again, like, because it all sounds the same, the pieces start blending together. The actual, like, I don't know, I'd have to look at the actual music itself, but it sounded like it was all in the same key, all using very similar, like, note progression.
Well, and it may be a result of the over-reliance on the iconic score of the original.
Yes.
That... whatever it sounds like.
Yeah.
That was played a lot.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Played a lot. and I love that, but it was definitely used a lot. And I think that what you're saying is a result of, like, trying to hold on to that and not branch out to anything else.
Right. And again, and they use the Come With Me, that song. They use it at the end, and I think in a very effective way, because they take the lyrics and repurpose them for the situation. And I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. Like, I love that. Absolutely. But like Jake's saying, you played that theme every single time there was a sad moment in the film. And, you know, I don't think they should have done that. I think that should have been, you know, you can play it once or twice. Maybe when Wonka first enters in, you give a little notes of that or something, and then comes to at the end.
Especially in a legacy reboot film, whatever you would call this.
Yeah.
Again, going back to your roots too much and not saving it for the emotional climax of the film really ruins, I feel, it's how effective it could have been.
Speaking on the effectiveness of things, let's talk about the story a little bit.
As far as the story goes, I think it was solid. It was okay. It was sort of like an underdog tale. Definitely him dealing with some things, but I don't ever feel like he really struggled with anything. There was the moment after his factory burned down, but even that was quickly, you know, washed. I don't think we ever really saw Wonka deal with anything. For the most part, he was in pretty high spirits the entire time. Always was like, oh, it'll be all right. We'll figure this out. Except the Dark Night of the Soul, which I think is okay. Yeah, that's fine. You can definitely do a story that way. But I do think it becomes less dynamic when you are dealing with some of the internal emotions externally.
There is an element of this film, too, which we got to keep in mind, which is just the charming nature of it. And whenever I say, oh, you know, it's made for kids, I'm not trying to demean it, saying, well, it doesn't need to have anything story-wise.
Hey, check out our video about children's animation.
Like Jake was saying, if you don't have moments where the main character or even the side characters are really questioning themselves, if you always keep the film in this really high state of energy, then you don't feel the highs of the end as much, because again, you've been riding this real high wave, and you might have a little dip and then come back up, or even slowly come back up. But I don't know, it's like maybe if we had a little bit more like this, and then big dip, and then, you know, I feel like it would have been more dynamic, like Jake was saying.
Now, beyond that, I think a lot of it was great. There were a lot of quirky bits, goofy bits that, and letting the characters themselves were very cartoonish. There was, what's his name? Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah. I can't remember his name. His whole arc, or whatever you want to call it, was hilarious. He's like this, you know, stout, proper, like the guy from Hugo, the police officer. And then by the end, he is this, like, huge, massive man who has tossed away all of his moral code.
Yeah.
And is just eating chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got that kind of, like, children's storybook, like, kind of morality thing where people basically double down on a decision and keep doubling down, and then it ultimately undoes them, and obviously it's a cautionary tale for kids and everything. And I like that element, and I think that translates very nicely here. And overall, like, it was like an effective story, in the sense that it, you know, it tells like a compelling narrative. I think I did not have any desire to see this movie beforehand, so I wasn't predisposed to like it, but I became invested in the characters, specifically Wonka and the orphan.
Mm-hmm.
Noodles. Yeah.
Mr. Noodle.
Yeah, no. I lost my train of thought.
It was very wholesome and heartwarming.
Yes, that's exactly where I wanted to go. Because it was so wholesome and heartwarming, the entire time I kept thinking, wow, this is exactly the antithesis to a video essay that I have made that is going to come out in the next few weeks.
Hey, keep your eyes peeled, boys.
Which is good, buddies, because it's a negative critique, but at the same time, I was like, damn, I'm going to have to go re-edit that and put Wonka in it. But yeah, it was very charming. It was very whimsical. the way that they shot it too, you know, I was afraid that it was going to feel flat because basically every scene not taking place at night was like cloudy, cloudy daytime. But they do a lot of interesting stuff with the visuals, and I think the color grading specifically, just keeping it, what's it called, saturated, helps a lot. The use of Dutch angles was weird, and I don't know if I necessarily liked it, but it didn't really outstay its welcome, so I thought it was just an interesting style choice.
Visually, I'm torn.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very clean film.
Yes.
It's a very clean film. And for me, that, it felt like some of the whimsicality and fantastical nature of the Wonkaverse was stripped away because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely felt, I mean, it was well done, like well executed for sure. I don't know, but there was just some tangibility that was missing for me.
Yeah.
Especially with like Hugh Grant's Oompa Loompa. That CGI was weird, but that's a whole other
thing. I wish they had just used real giraffes, at least for like some of the scenes.
I mean, or a real dog.
Yeah, like it was just weird that they...
Or a real Oompa Loompa
I actually think it does accomplish the goal of making everything look whimsical because it's all basically sets.
Yeah.
And like exaggerated kind of sets, but... so I like that. I understand exactly what you're saying, but I actually think it works for the film. So
and it may.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to watch it again to, you know, give you a 6-hour video to break down every shot and tell you what I really think.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just me missing our good old boy Gene Wilder.
Yeah, and fair enough.
Rest in peace to him too.
Yeah. Is he dead?
He's dead.
Oh.
Is he?
I don't know.
Editor?
Look it up. Oh my god! I can use that for, for whichever.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, and you had mentioned this, was not Abbott Costello, Abacus Crunch. His voice?
Yeah.
Bleacher's voice?
Yeah.
There were a lot of really good voices in this.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, throaty, earthy, like, that bass tone just hitting
Bazo.
I don't know how to describe it. It definitely is like a European film, not in style, but like
like an English film in voices.
No, it's something else. Hey, you know what I'm talking about, comment down below. Yeah,
UK.
Yeah, this is the UK. Bazo. When Keegan-Michael Key is going up for the last time that we see him, his footsteps sound different.
Oh, really?
They sound heavier, which I think is awesome.
I didn't even notice that. That's
also
so funny.
Also, Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Absolutely great part of
the film. I miss him.
Is he dead too?
No, he's not dead. Okay. I miss him in movies. The one song that was awesome. Yeah, that's exactly what it was, when the giraffe was running around the church, and then it goes, giraffe. That was so good, man.
But I mean, yeah. Look, I mean, like, is it this overwhelmingly, you know, thematic, gonna change the world? No, but look at like how we're thinking about the stupid wacky stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, if I'm going to watch a movie that is about a wacky character, that's what I want. And the film delivered that 100%.
Yes. I love the way that it feels like a child, like a film made for children that doesn't talk down to them.
Yes.
It's a really good watch. If you haven't already seen it, it's worth going to the theaters to see it. We saw it in IMAX, and even though it didn't shoot in IMAX, it was a big old screen.
Didn't know that we were seeing it in IMAX till I got there, but apparently Kyle told me, but I don't
remember. Well, you asked to see it in IMAX, and I booked the tickets, and then you were like, what? We're seeing it in IMAX?
There were two things out of this movie that I thought were not great. One was, so they did flashbacks in some pretty interesting ways, or like imagination in some pretty interesting ways sometimes.
Hmm.
But one of the things I loved about the Johnny Depp Wonka is that when he was talking about flashbacks, we like saw him do the things, and Timothée Chalamet mentioned some like really cool stuff, and it would have been really awesome to see that. But we didn't. I think it would have added to the film if we did get to see 5-10 seconds of something, you know, like him approaching like a rainforest and seeing a thundercloud. just something to give it that little.
Yeah, yeah. So when he when he's explaining the different types of chocolate and where he got the stuff to cut to him finding it. Yeah, I mean that would have fleshed out kind of the universe, I guess, a little bit more.
The Wonkaverse.
The Wonkaverse.
Maybe we'll see more in the future.
Wonka 2, Rise of the Oompa Loompa.
Wonka 2, Electric Wonkaloo. The other thing that was strange, more than anything, we don't know how old Wonka is. And we don't know how old Noodle is. And there was definitely some chemistry going on.
Yeah, so Jake is reading this as romantic, and I think you can. I don't think it's intended to be romantic. I think it's intended to just be like a good time, like, you know, kind of just people hanging out and whimsical and all that stuff. But there was one scene in particular where they were, it was after the giraffe stuff and everything, and
there was something going on.
Yeah, it just it was like, I don't know, man. It looks like strangely romantic, but you know, maybe that's just Jake and I wanting to get with Chalamet.
And that also may just be like my subconscious want to get with Emma Chamberlain. If you're watching this, what's up? Because her celebrity crush is Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, who?
Emma Chamberlain? Y'all know. Comment down below if you know. Subscribe if you know who Emma Chamberlain is.
And if you don't, then just hit the like button.
Yeah.
Well, you know. But yeah, that's. I think that's our thoughts on this. Do you have any last words?
Those were my last words.
Oh.
Wait, do it again.
Okay.
Those were my last words. Oh. You're going to ask me.
Oh, I thought you were going
to. No. Ask the question.
Okay. So, do you have any last words?
Nope. Those were my last words.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that was worth it.
Hey!
Hey, see?
Yeah.
Hey. That's what happens if Wonka takes place in New York.
In New York? Where did it take place?
Dude, that's what's weird. The library at the end said Biblioteca Universitatio.
Hey. You know what that's a reference to?
Spanish.
The first after credit scene in Community. Spain, maybe? Who knows?
I don't know. I thought it was England because of everything being English, but that was strange.
Wonka Land? Yeah, but in Napoleon, everything was in English also. Okay, what do I give Wonka? I give Wonka a 7.5 out of 10.
Whoop. And I will give it an 8 out of 10, you know? Because I think, I give it an 8 out of 10 because I really enjoyed it. Thank you guys for watching this video so much. We really appreciate it, and we hope that you liked it as well. We got some fun videos coming for you next week, I believe.
Yes, we do.
And then after that, we're rounding out the year, getting into 2024. Can you believe it, everybody? We made it this long.
Hey, and you know what? To help us make it a little bit longer, why don't you check out our merch store down below?
Yeah, go down there. You can only get there if you subscribe to the channel. We will see you in the next one.
Bye-bye!